I'm Jackie from Cape Town in South Africa.
Andre from Brisbane.
I'm Ben Wale from Botswana.
Jim Panton from Edinburgh in Scotland.
I'm Lisa Bracknell from Christchurch, New Zealand.
Nick Kidinji from Nairobi, Kenya.
I'm Vicky from Tel Aviv in Israel.
I'm Andy from Vancouver, Canada.
This is Harish from Bangalore in India.
I'm Brigitte Seipestein from Vrucht, the Netherlands.
I'm Dougie Nisbet from Durham in the UK. And you're listening to Run with Coach Parry.
Welcome back on to another edition of Run with Coach Parry. I'm Brad Brown, and we've got a jam-packed show for you today. We are heading to Australia to catch up with our next guest. He's a member of the Coach Parry Online Training Club, training for another comrades coming up in just a few months' time. I'm talking about Trevor Smith. We'll be doing a bit of a fly-on-the-wall coaching session with him and Coach Marcus on today's episode. We're also going to hear from Lindsay a little bit later on as well. And I've got some exciting news to share. How cool is this? So if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you know that we've been teaming up with Biogen. And we've been helping Hobbo, James Hobbo Hobson, to get to Ironman 70.3 in Durban, which is happening in June this year. And it's been a long-term project, and Hobbo's been working like an absolute Trojan. And he's hit a couple of big milestones this week, which the coach will share with you a little bit later on. He did a quick recording with Hobbo, I think it was yesterday morning. One of them, I can tell you, is Hobbo has lost 20 kilograms. I mean, that's phenomenal. That's half a Backstreet Boy. He's just absolutely going like a Boeing. So he's hit three big milestones this week. That's one of them. So make sure you listen towards the end of the podcast. You'll find out the others. We'll also announce our next winner in the Biogen Journey competition. Part of this whole thing we're doing with Hobbo is we want to help as many people as we can along the way. So every single week we've teamed up with Biogen. They're giving away a Biogen hamper, and we're giving away 3 months access to the Coach Parry Online Training Club. And we've got our next winner. If you'd like to enter, all you have to do is use the hashtag Biogen Journey on social media. I'll tell you more a little bit about it later on in the podcast as well. And then we have got one of the coolest stories to share. It popped up in our success forum, in the forums on that training platform this week as well, which is weird because it's actually relating to almost a year ago. But it's definitely something worth sharing, and I'll tell you all about that a little bit later on as well. But let's catch up with Trevor and Marcus, and let's build up towards Comrades 2019. Trevor, welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. I'm glad to be here.
Nice to have you. A lot of the podcasts we do, obviously, there's lots of South Africans on because that's where we're based, but that's not a South African accent that's been transplanted in Australia. You're a fair dinkum Aussie.
Yeah, I'm not scratch me and you find a South African. That's true. I can tell the Queensland twang. I'm a definite Aussie all the way through.
No doubt about it. So what's the attraction with running in South Africa?
Oh, well, there's only one reason to go, Brad, and that's Comrades.
I was going to say, it's not our rugby team, is it? It's there's something else.
Oh, well, we'll go anywhere to get a hiding. There's no problems with that. we don't have to. We can save the airfare, though. The way we're going, the Pacific Islands will probably do us.
Yeah, we won't talk any rugby or any cricket. Cricket's probably even worse than your rugby at the moment, but we're not going to touch on that.
Our expectations in that sport are a bit higher, but are not being met. So that's not going well either.
No, we're not going to go there. Let's talk your love of Comrades.
We're in the quarters of the Asian Cup. It's going all right so far. Just
absolutely.
Yeah, Comrades. So when I started running, I guess reading on online forums and stuff, people were talking about it, and it just the story, you know, it just this amazing story of this race, and it just captivates you. And I guess when you think about it, it's that brutal cutoff probably that attracts, even though it's very nasty, but it's just the challenge, I guess. You think, wouldn't it be awesome to run that, and even more awesome to actually finish? So that was the attraction for me. And
Yeah, Trevor, it's an interesting one. And I've said this before on the podcast too, that for us here in South Africa, most of us, like my generation, grew up around the race. Like I grew up as a youngster in the Bruce Fordyce era. My dad was running Comrades and Bruce was winning. And it was just part of what we did at that time as well, because of what was going on in South Africa politically. We didn't have access to international sport. So that was it. We always joke, we used to watch Miss South Africa on TV because that's all we could get. And Comrades, that was it. So for us, it's normal. It's like, you know what? 89Ks or 86Ks on the app run. It's, yeah, everyone does it. Like, why wouldn't you? But coming from outside of South Africa, and if you talk to people, you go 86 kilometers or 56 miles, people think you're crazy. And I know the numbers in Australia. I mean, marathon running is pretty big. There's a big marathon in Melbourne. Sydney's got a big marathon. But as soon as you take that step over 42Ks or 26 miles, the numbers drop off significantly. And I'm sure you experience that. If you tell runners who don't know anything about Comrades that you're training for this crazy race in South Africa, they must think you're mad.
They do. Well, they normally think you're mad even to run a marathon, to be honest, but that is much more popular. I mean, ultras, you whack a couple of zeros off the numbers of people that do marathons for, I mean, there's a hardcore ultra culture here, but it's all trails and it's very small. It's growing, but you know, the big races might get 200-300, I suppose, for doing the ultra distances. It's nothing like you're seeing at Comrades.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And Comrades is obviously a big one, and you're talking a couple of hundred, maybe 300 people running an ultra. But our sort of like normal run-of-the-mill, ugly, smelly, stinky ultra in the middle of nowhere gets a few thousand. I mean, it's and then you take on the big ones like Comrades and Two Oceans, and you're getting in the tens of thousands. I mean, it's crazy. Your attraction to the long stuff, how did that come about?
Well, I can't run very fast, Brad. So the further it goes, the more chance I've got. But there aren't races long enough. In all seriousness, that is part of it. As one of the coaches here says that, you know, and I think he's right. If you can, you'd run the 100 meters and win. You know, you'd Usain Bolt win the gold medal. But when you can't do that, you keep stepping out. So part of that was as a young, as a teenager, I always thought I had a bit more chance in things that were a bit longer. Not that I was any good, but at least I wasn't quite as bad. Might be a better way of putting it. And then growing up, Robert De Castella was the man, you know, world record holder. Enies for a short couple of years there. He was the number one marathoner in the world, and I was at a very impressionable age. And he, great win in the 82 Commonwealth Games in Brisbane in particular when I was young, I was a teenager in Queensland. So that was a big influence. So to be able to, when it dawned on me one day, when I started running again, that, maybe I could run a marathon myself. That was, you know, something that I thought was absolutely beyond me, and it was just a wonderful thing to do. So I guess the inspiration from particularly him, but others that followed him as well.
Like I love Minor that. Getty. I love that. And training for ultras, I mean, you talk about those numbers dropping off, and training for a race like Comrades, I don't think South Africans realize how lucky we are that we've got the infrastructure and the support that we've got to train for a race like Comrades. But in a place like Melbourne, even though it's this massive city and it's once you start going beyond those sort of things, I don't want to say you're on your own, but the opportunities for long club training runs every weekend like we've got here don't exist in most places around the world outside of South Africa. How have you managed to deal with that, and what's been your sort of way to counteract not having what we've got here in South Africa to build us up towards Comrades?
Yeah, so The parkrun phenomenon really, I'm not good at short answers, by the way.
No, it's all good.
But the parkrun phenomenon took off here in Australia a few years ago, like it did over your way. And, out of that, about 3 years ago, a running club was spawned out of my local parkrun, Diamond Creek Runners. So now, and it's this new thing we've got in Australia now, recreational running clubs, they call them. So previously we've had athletic clubs, which were for people who are probably a bit more serious, a lot of track races. Not everyone who's in an athletics club is a fantastic runner. There's a lot of people who are just, you know, giving it their best shot, but they're not fantastic times. But even so, at those clubs, you still have like the Olympians are in those athletic clubs. So there is certainly elite athletes there. And so a recreational running club was formed locally. My running buddies at all that I had through work had all split off different ways. I was looking for some new people to run with, so I joined them, and we're now the biggest recreational running club in Victoria with 500 members. And I mean, a lot of those are 5K specialists, but even so, there's still a number of people who aren't. So out of that group, I've got a group of core friends and whatnot, and there's generally some of those are various levels of sanity, and you can normally find someone who wants to do something stupid without much encouraging. So
couple of beers and it's done.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. A couple of drinks and they've signed up for a 56K race and I have to tell their wives the next day. So,
I mean, one of the things in Oz as well is there's some great people that are involved with Comrades from Australia. And I think of Digger, obviously the work that Digger's done. And anybody in Australia who runs knows Digger. It's just one of those things. Yep. And particularly when they run Comrades. I mean, you just see the numbers of Aussies that come over to run. And Digger's got a lot to do with that. And I know he organizes a lot of things too. So it's growing. It's definitely growing in Australia. And the support is getting there.
Absolutely, yeah. And when I did contact Digger when the opportunity to come up for me to do it, because I know it's a big deal for a lot of South Africans. It's a reasonable sized country, so not everyone it's easy for them to get to, but it's obviously an order of magnitude for me.
Yeah.
And it's just the time off work, time away from the family, financial cost. So everything's got to be together to go, and then you don't want to fail. Obviously no one wants to fail anyway, but if you live in Durban you can say, okay, well gee, it didn't work out
this year,
but I'll have another crack next year. Whereas if you're coming from Australia, the reality is that can still happen, but you want the percentages for that to be pretty low to do it, so you've got to get all your ducks in a row. So you need to be well organized to come over and do it. So Digger, I spoke to Digger. There's at my running club, there's a couple of other people who run it, and I spoke to them, I'd done all my research. I knew as much as I could before I started.
You knew what you were getting into. I say Digger. For those of you who don't know Digger, it's Bruce Hargreaves. He's the Australian ambassador for Comrades. And, you can look him up on Facebook. He's very active. He's in the Aussie Facebook group as well. If you are thinking about this, listening to it in Australia, and you want to find out more, you can chat to us, Coach Parry, or you can chat to Digger. Digger will definitely be able to help you out. But you've been sort of part of what we do at Coach Parry for the last few months, and have taken it really seriously. You joined, and then you decided, you know what, I want to step this thing up, and you've been working with Marcus sort of one-on-one as well, and Marcus is with us as well. I've got a mind like a goldfish. I can't remember if we introduced him at the start of the show or not. Marcus?
No, we haven't. No one knows he's there, although hopefully they do now.
How's it, Marcus? Nice to have you on.
Jeepers, thanks, Brad. I was just about to get the popcorn out.
we were having a lovely little yak. I mean, I can chat to Trevor forever. Marcus, you've been working with Trevor for a while now, and obviously the build-up continues to Comrades. Your sort of initial thoughts on working with Trevor, and you're going to have to be nice because he is paying part of your salary, so he's a great guy and working hard, I'm sure.
Yeah, so I must say I really appreciate Trevor's love for running. It was very evident since our first conversation that he's really passionate about running. It's something that floats his boat. And like you said, he might not be the fastest, but you'll get from point A to point B and you'll enjoy it. And to me, that's what the core. To me, that's what sport's about. If you don't enjoy it, then rather not do it. Because if you're doing it for other people to see what you're doing it for the wrong reasons. And if you're enjoying it, keep on doing it because it's going to put a smile on your face for as long as you do it.
Absolutely. Trevor, I know you're working closely with Marcus and you chat to him pretty much weekly. What are you sort of working on at the moment? What are you struggling with at the moment?
I guess I'm just getting used to training with power. So Marcus, that's one of the big things that he's talking about, and haven't done that before. So if you say heart rate or feel, that's something I'm quite used to. So training with power, I do need to keep an eye on what it actually is, and because I don't instinctively know. I'm getting better, but that's one of the challenges. And just some of the little logistical things, I suppose, you know, like hill repeats, trying to find the right gradient of a hill close to where I am for the session. You know, that's that's just really simple stuff. You're crossing your T's, dotting your I's. Mm. But I'm working through that, doing my research and finding the right spots or a better spot, because the one I've just done wasn't. The hill looked bigger at my first guess than what it turned out to be. But anyway, and then not reaching the power on that hill session when I looked at it and thought, gee, I haven't hit the numbers there. I wonder why that is, but yeah.
I mean, looking at Marcus, let me bring you in here. The way Trevor's been, or let me ask you this question first, and then ask Marcus. Trevor, prior to joining us with Coach Parry, had you followed like a real structured training program, or were you one of those guys that, you know, it's wing it as much as we can? How do I feel today? Cool, I'm ready for a 15K run. Or, I mean, how have you done it in the past?
Yeah, I'm somewhere in between those two. I've done it pretty. I guess I started looking at other people's programs, but I've been running long enough and done enough reading to put my own ones together. But so I'd have a plan, but I'd treat that as an outline. And then, depending on how I was feeling on the day would depend on what I did. But I probably looking at some of the things I'd put together in the past, I was probably a bit too ambitious. Like, as I said, I keep saying to people when I've done very stupid things that haven't turned out very well, I forgot how old I was. And, a 7-day week program, which I've done, doesn't suit a guy who's 50 years old. You know, it's just too hard. And so you end up, there's so many sessions are recovery and easy sessions because you just can't do anything else because you bug it. Whereas you could do a bit more quality if you actually had some more rest days. And flogging yourself, you think, well, this is doing good even though it's hurting. It's not actually. A bit more rest is probably helpful. So anyway, that's how I did it. I would have a plan, but then I'd go on how I was feeling and adjust it.
So why the step up to something a lot more formal like you've done with us and with Marcus?
Oh, it's pretty straightforward. So last year I trained pretty hard and I went over and ran the down run, and I worked hard the whole day and had a whole 3 minutes left when I came into the finish line, which is fantastic. Got my medal. It wasn't a barrel of laughs to do that. I certainly had to dig deep. So the up run's got a reputation as taking you a little bit longer, even if it is a bit easier on the body. And I thought, well, if you just rock up the same next year, mate, you're going to come home empty-handed. So that's not the idea. So I came with the three. I thought about that and I thought, well, three things I can do. I was carrying a few extra kilos. So I thought, well, I better, if I can lose some weight, that'll help. Then I felt, I started the race, I was feeling tired and I thought I probably buggered my training, done a bit too much. I think, well, if I get a coach that knows the race and knows, all the stuff you need to know about running and training, that'll really help. And then I thought, if I get a charity entry, that'll
put some pressure
on me up and will save me a few minutes. I mean, when you're talking, yourself, I'm sure, yeah, with your similar athletic prowess to me. A minute here, a minute there, they all add up. And if I can save 10 or 15 minutes because I'm not as far back in the field, it might be the difference in getting a medal or getting the medal I want. And so I did that. Then I thought a bit more and I thought, well, if I can improve my strength training, that'll help. And there was something else that came to mind after that. But anyway, they were the first three that I came up with. And a big part of that was, I mean, I could get a coach here in Oz, but Comrades is a unique race and I wanted to talk to people who knew the race, and I mean, that's you guys. So here I am.
Well, Marcus, like on that training, and Trevor, you can jump in here as well. Feel free. How's Trevor been sort of reacting to the coaching and responding to the work that you've been giving him? Trevor, you feeling comfortable with it? Are you seeing any sort of improvements?
Well, we're really just getting started, Brad. So, I'm just trying to get through my sessions and don't get cooked and deal with. I mean, life doesn't stop, you know, so I've still got all the the dramas of work and trying to, you know, and family life and keep all that going and fit the training in. And we've got a heat wave here at the moment. So trying to fit my training in that and all that kind of stuff, you know, still tick the boxes. My running's been going better since I think the post comrades, and I think the number of reasons for that, but I think strength training I've been doing and weight loss has helped the cause. So I'm happy where I am, but of course we've got a long way to go. So just work through it.
Yeah, I mean, there's still a long way to go to race day as well. So there's lots of work to be done and lots of improvements to be made. Marcus, your sort of take on where Trev is right now?
Yeah, so the biggest thing for me, Brad, was and Trev hit the nail on the head was I think he did overcook it a bit when he prepared for last year's event. So yes, doesn't matter how you look at it, you're always going to have to train hard for comrades, but that doesn't mean you do not have to train smart as well. So we'll get to his questions just now. But definitely having a more structured, more thought through process to follow. You know, just take out all your guessing or, you know, all the guesswork out of the program. And like you said, we actually just recently got started. He signed up for a once-off program. I'd like to do mine slightly different. I like a bit more interaction than just chatting to them once and giving them a 16-week program. So we actually had a chat earlier in the week, and I gave him a 12-week upfront or 12-week program after numerous chats that we had on Skype and WhatsApp. It's definitely the beginning of a long road ahead. But if he did follow the program, and yeah, there's some growing, you know, or pains, if I can call it that, you know, finding the right gradient heel. And like I said, we'll get to his question just now. He's definitely on the right way, well, right road ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I mean, you talk about overtraining, and I say this all the time as well. The worst place to find out you've overtrained for comrades is 70Ks in. That's you don't want to be there, and that's what happens. Yeah. You feel great going into the race, and you only find out you've overtrained once on the uprun. If it happens at the top of both Azil, you're in all sorts of trouble. But if it happens at the top of Inchanga, you don't want that to happen. And so often we see it. Guys think, oh, you've got to put in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Ks, and like I said, you find out then, and that's not the place to find out. Trevor, questions. Let's get you some sort of direct help. I know you've brought a couple, and it's time to use and abuse Marcus.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'll start the strength training question. So I was doing Shona's beginner's strength training, mainly because I did strength work last year, but not just a few things I'd hobbled together. Well, it was far from comprehensive, and to be more rounded, I thought I'd start with the beginner program so that I'd have a, you know, balanced thing. But I've kind of done that. I was thinking, for comrades, what should I be doing? Should I do the next level up, or what are you recommending that I do?
Thanks for the question, Trevor. So there's a few things to take into account. So obviously you mentioned it yourself. This is her beginner program. So I know she has different levels of intensities or different levels of difficulty. So my suggestion would be is when you do get to a place where you feel that the program that you're currently following is getting too easy, then we can get in touch with Shona. She can put you on the next level. We can even add a second gym day. So gymming for me, or strength training, isn't just about developing strength in your legs. For a race like comrades, it's twofold. So yes, it's about developing strength in your legs, but it's also about injury prevention. It's about helping your legs to cope with the load and not injuring yourself in the process.
Sure, well, makes sense.
Yeah, and just if I can add in there as well, I know Shona's got the on the training platform for those of you who are listening who are not quite sure we're talking about those strength programs. She's got the different levels. So there's beginner, intermediate, advanced, and then there's one and 2 day programs. So yeah, I think you start at the right place, but I think it sounds like it's definitely time to move up. And I'd suggest pop that question in the forum. Tell Shona what you want to do, and she'll be able to suggest something. It'll definitely get you up and onto the next sort of program. Next question that you've got.
For the long runs, gradients. So I've always assumed you should try and target something vaguely similar to what the race is going to be. So, you know, something between 2 and 2.5, for that. Is that what you think I should be doing, or or something different, or what's the thoughts?
So, Trevor, for me, especially for preparing for a race like the Uprun, I wouldn't say, you know, specifically go and look for hills that's at the perfect gradient. But you can certainly go for runs in hilly areas. That'll definitely help you. Once again, you are training on power, so you'll adapt your intensity or the workload that you run at, or the intensity that you run at, based on your power reading. But for me, it's about just running where you can mostly. And if you are in a hilly area, brilliant. If you can run to a hilly area, just as well. But you don't need to run at a specific gradient, because I can tell you what, Fields Hill is totally different to some of the other hills. It's long, it's never ending, and it's at a certain gradient to many other hills in the race. Especially also, you know, when you're doing your long run, doing hills towards the end of your long run might also just help you. For hills like Little Pollies and Pollies, I mean, it's super tough when you get there and you haven't done some form of hill simulation. So it's a really valid point you're making.
Sorry, Trevor, if I can just add in there too as well, you might have a hill in Australia or in Melbourne that's 2 or 3 degrees, or I mean, I don't even know what the gradients are of Fields Hill or Polly's, but the cumulative effect, just because a hill is 2 degrees at 8 hours into a comrades, 2 degrees doesn't feel like 2 degrees. It's one of those things, and yeah, if you can do lots of them, it's definitely going to help you as well.
Yeah, no, that's right, Brad. Even though the comrades, the hills on it, there's nothing too dramatic on there, but it's the cumulative effect. Yep. That's the issue. But we don't have a Fields equivalent here anyway. We don't have hills that are big enough.
But Trevor, at our level, we walk up it anyway, so it doesn't really make a difference.
Oh, absolutely. Well, but that's, you know, practicing the walking is part of it, of course.
Yeah, I've always said there's no hill that's never been walked up, and I'm not scared of walking up hills, so that's fine.
Okay, so the other question was, I've got some of the runs in there. I mean, most of the time, but there's a few that are distance, 40 or 50K. And it just, a lot of the longer stuff we tend to do on trail. So I guess it's more fun to be honest. But a trails course, they are a lot harder. So I'm mindful that 40K on the trails, not 40 on a road. So should I be looking at reducing some of those distances to count for that? And if I'm going to, how much should I reduce them by?
Trevor, it's tricky because trail running is, put it this way, okay, when you prepare for comrades, it's really not frowned upon when you take apply the walk-run-walk strategy. Same thing with trail running. It's not frowned upon, not that it's really in comrades, but it's more normal to walk on a certain trail section as it is for on a road run, if I'm explaining correctly. So, just going to your actual question where you say, you know, some of my runs are based on time versus distance. There's certain runs that I'd really like you to do where you need to cover the distance. That's very, very important. Yep. There'll also be, it really depends on athlete to athlete. So some of my athletes, in your case, I'll do most runs on time and then some only on distance. But on my really, really fast runners, I'll only give them in certain distances to run. Because if I give them a 3 hour run, they'll probably run in excess of 38 to 42 kilometers. And that shouldn't be that well. That's not the goal of the exercise either.
Yeah, I'll probably do that. Run about 40K in 3 hours too, Marcus. Yeah. yeah. So, okay. So those ones you've given me distances on, you'd prefer that I try and do a road or a proper paved, or, you know, something that's not a gnarly trail. For those,
yeah. So the other thing is the impact or the difference on impact on your actual your lower legs, your feet, all those things. Trail is much softer than running on tarmac, and that's also something that you need to get used to. In my first uprun, I cannot tell you how sore my feet were with 10Ks to go. It was excruciatingly painful, and only in my second comrades, you know, slowly but surely over the years of preparing and doing long runs and accumulative mileage, did my feet start getting used to the impact of running on the road. So for me, that's important. You know, so there needs to be a certain percentage done on a harder surface just to not, you know, run into some difficulty come race day.
You know, there definitely will be, but it's getting the mix right for me. And I guess the boredom factor, some of the roads and paved surfaces, often that's the least interesting places. But I'll work through it and work it out.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. But so I mean, for me, just because it's on trail doesn't mean it needs to be you need to shorten the distance. Time-wise, I mean, whether you run 12 kilometers on trail or you run 18 kilometers on the road in a certain time, to me, it's not the end of the world. But there needs to be a healthy mix between running on the trail and running on the road. Yeah. And like I said, for the runs on your program, that's specified to do a certain mileage in that specific run, then, you know, if you can, that'll obviously be the best option.
Yeah, and that's a great question as well. Trevor, on last week's podcast, we spoke to Lindsay and I caught up with Sean Simpson, and he had exactly the same question. He travels a hell of a lot and gets to run a lot of trail, and he was asking the same sort of thing. So if you go back and listen to that one, if you haven't listened to it yet, that'll definitely give you a lot more sort of insight as well. Like Lindsay was saying there too, it's soft on the body, like Marcus says, but your risk for acute injury is a lot higher, rolling an ankle or something like that. So that's where you've got to be careful of. And also the ups tend to be a lot steeper, the downs tend to be a lot steeper. So the damage you do on the muscles, as much as the climbing and that helps, you just got to be careful that you're recovering properly from those sort of runs as well, immediately straight afterwards. But yeah, there's lots of great info in that podcast as well.
Yep. All right.
Cool.
Makes sense.
No worries. Any other questions?
I guess one without notice. I've got some travel coming up, so I'm thinking of doing some magic switcheroos with the program just to fit in. Like, we've got Monday's public holiday for Australia Day. I don't think we've got around to convincing you guys to celebrate that yet. and then I'm off to New Zealand in the afternoon. So it's easier for me to go for Monday's a rest day, but I'm thinking if I run Monday and then I rest Tuesday, and then you know, do some, because I'm back Wednesday night, so, you know, and then maybe do something Wednesday morning and then come back and do something Thursday, just shuffle things around. I presume that's not a big deal to
not at all. Yeah. as long as one is fresh before you do a speed session, in your case you're busy with a heel block, as long as you don't, you know, start your session exhausted, that's fine.
Yeah, sure, makes sense.
Cool. Trevor, it's been great catching up. We love having you in the forums and in the Coach Parry community. It's we love having you around and really do appreciate you. So yeah, we're looking forward to following your progress and see how you go in the build up to Comrades. And yeah, we make sure that you go home with that back to back.
That's the plan. Sounds great.
It's going to happen.
Thanks, guys.
We've got to speak it into existence. Yeah. It's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Well, that's the plan. And so it's a plan, so it's got to happen.
Absolutely. Well, Trevor, it's been great, and yeah, I'm sure we'll touch base before you head out to South Africa. But yeah, good luck.
All right, thanks, guys. Well, it's really good.
Love that chat with Trevor. And I love the sort of reach that we have here at Coach Parry and what we're trying to do and around the world. So if you're listening to this podcast, I want to know where you are. If you wouldn't mind popping us on social media, you can use the hashtag Coach Parry, or you can tag myself or Lindsay or Marcus. I'm pretty easy to find. It's at Big Brad Brown. Lindsay's at Lindsay Parry ZA, or you can use the Ask Coach Parry Twitter handle as well. You can find us at Ask Coach Parry. Pop a photo of where you're listening to this podcast. If you're driving, don't do this, okay? This isn't the time to do this. But pop a photo of where you're listening to this podcast. And I'd love to sort of see the reach and how many countries we can get tagged this week. It's just amazing to me that I record this from my little studio down in Cape Town. Lindsay's up in Joburg. Trevor was in Australia. And we head all over the show. Hobbo is in Joburg and he's training hard. And I mentioned at the top of the podcast that he is smashing milestones left, right, and center. He's 20 kilograms lighter than he was when we started working with him probably, I'm guessing, about 6 months ago. And he is absolutely flying. He's hit another two milestones this week as well. You'll hear about them in this little chat that Lindsay had with him. His coaching chat this week. And yeah, hopefully you can take some inspiration if you'd like some help as well. All you have to do is use the hashtag BiogenJourney on social media. We'll pick it up. Tell us what you're training for, what you need help with. And you could be winning 3 months access to the Coach Parry Training Club, where you get access to over 80 training programs. You get access to our entire coaching staff in the forums, live Q&A calls, and a whole lot more as well. So make sure that you do use that hashtag BiogenJourney, and we could pick you as a winner. And then straight after this, I'll announce this week's winner. And if you use that hashtag, it could be you.
All right, Hobber. So last week was a pretty good training week. You got in most of your sessions. Okay, and Saturday, did you draw your polo match?
Yeah, ended up having a bit of a roll, otherwise as well.
Okay, good. Okay, and but no golf on Saturday.
No golf Saturday. No, obviously rained out as well.
Of course, yeah. Sorry, I thought you were just taking this whole 70.3 thing just too seriously now.
No, don't worry. <Liz. laughs> It was good. It rested the legs for Sunday.
Yes, and you did and that's where I want to go to next, is that was really a great effort, easily your best cycling effort. And
yeah,
you know, to ride 115 Ks at pretty close to 25 Ks an hour, that really is it's a significant jump. And I think that's really part of it, obviously, is the consistency of training. But I think the other part is this kind of concept of you really trying to be more purposeful in your execution on the bike. And of course, another part of it is actually the physical weight loss is going to make it easier and easier to ride over 25 Ks an hour. So I know I was tongue in cheek telling you we're going to hit that bike course in 30 Ks an hour in Durban. But quite honestly, we're probably going to hit it between 27, 28 and possibly 30 Ks an hour. It really was this was a good ride with some pretty hectic climbs in it. So how did the climbs go?
Yeah, fine. I mean, I didn't think they were too hectic, but I definitely think the elements that we've been working on, like the intervals, I think definitely help. And I think the like the squats and the strength side of it, I think my legs feel stronger, you know, like in the beginning it was my legs giving in, you know, where I never had that. Okay, I cramped after like 80 Ks. I started having a bit of cramp and stuff, but it was never where I was pushing and then my legs would just, you know, my legs never seized up.
Okay.
As such, you know?
Okay, cool. So, well, that's...
Yeah, I think it's the stuff that we have been doing, and maybe the mountain biking, it also helps, you know?
Look, and I'm certain that the cradle rides will help a lot. So I think all the elements are coming together, and hopefully there'll also be some good crossover from the strength training and the squats in your running. How were your run walks this week?
Yeah, good. So I did my best wondrous time trial on Thursday. So 44 minutes, sub 45. Yeah, and I'm feeling stronger, but I think now I need to sort of maybe look at doing more distance.
Yeah.
I know you put like for an hour. So I think it's, you know, the Tuesday run is always an hour. So that's like 6 Ks now. But maybe look at also doing, I mean, I don't know, maybe just do a few laps of the field or maybe look at jumping to the 8K now. I don't know.
Yes. I think so. And I mean, in the short term, that'll probably be an hour. Just over an hour for the 8K, probably close to an hour 15. But no, I think that is a very good call from here. And we definitely need to start spending a little bit more time on the feet. Have you had a weigh-in this week?
Yeah, so I'm at 110.5, I think, 5 or 6 this morning.
Awesome.
So almost under 110.
We are knocking on that door. That's cool.
That's very cool. By the end of this week, it should be there.
That is awesome. Well done, Hobbo, man. I saw that ride pop up on Strava on the weekend, and I was like, holy smokes, he's absolutely flying. Yeah, big jumps. I mean, if we think about towards the end of last year, he was struggling on the bike, and to go and do over 100 Ks is phenomenal at 25 Ks an hour, which is awesome. The winner of that Biogen hashtag competition, up for grabs, 3 months access to the Coach Parry training platform. It's worth $750 plus a Biogen hamper as well. And all we're asking you to do is use the hashtag Biogen Journey on the socials and make sure you tag Coach Parry as well. Hashtag Coach Parry. And we could be making you a winner. It's as simple as that. And this week's winner who gets 3 months access, a very big congratulations going out to Johan Duplessis. His Twitter or his Instagram handle is at Chalk and Cheese. He's training hard. Johan, we need to talk about these pants, man. He posted, he said, fun Sunday run. Posted a 20K run in 2 hours 20. Fantastic. Well done. Use the hashtag Biogen Journey. Use the hashtag Coach Parry. You are a winner, sir. We'll be in touch via the Instagram, and we'll get you access to the Coach Parry Training Club as well as that hamper. We'll get it to you as well. Before I wrap things up, a little bit more housekeeping. This coming Monday, we've got our next Comrades Marathon Online Training Seminar. Myself and the coach are going to be on. Your chance to get in front of Lindsay and get the help you need to make sure you have a successful Comrades this year. If you'd like to register, just head over to coachparry.com/webinar. That's where you can get all the details. And before I leave, I wanted to share this story out of our forums. And it was posted by Chris Binneman. Chris said, I purchased the sub 4 hour, 4 day week marathon training plan about this time last year, but didn't use it because I was almost halfway through the program I was on, which was a 5 day a week program with lots of interval training sessions, which I was using for the Brighton Marathon. To my surprise, the 4 day program purchased from Coach Parry had no interval training, so I was concerned about losing the speed, but I had been trying to break the 4 hour barrier for some time, only to achieve 4:05 and 4:04 as the closest, and then 4:01 at Brighton. I always found that from about 34 kilometers on, I had no ability to maintain a decent pace and would end up walking and running every kilometer until the end. I had heard that the Cape Town Marathon was a good race to get a PB, so with nothing to lose, I gave this program a go. And I must tell you that when I follow a program, I plan and execute to the last detail. So I started the program at the appropriate time, and to my surprise, at the start line, I felt fresh and injury-free, also not being injured during the program, which was new for me. I had a fantastic run, and the last 2 weeks before my 58th birthday, I managed 3:58. I was over the moon and had felt stronger and stronger from 34 kilometer onwards. Thank you for a fantastic program. Run slow to run fast has become my new mantra. Chris, I got goosebumps reading that, man. That's exactly why we do what we do here at Coach Parry. And if you're listening to this and you need help with your running, let me just put it out there, and I'm going to be as blunt as this, that if you keep doing the same things over and over and over and expect different results, nothing is going to change. I think Albert Einstein is quoted as saying that. That's the definition of insanity. The truth of the matter is, if you want to get great running results, you need to sell out to one coach, and you need to do things. If you've been doing the same thing over and over and it's not working, you need to try something else. And we've got a scientific proven plan that will get you results. Definitely go and check it out. Head over to coachparry.com/join. Chris, we love having you on the platform. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. It really made our day when we saw it earlier in the week. And I wanted to share it with our listeners here on Coach Parry as well. We think you're an absolute star. Well done on that 3:58. Two weeks before your 58th birthday, man. I can only wish. But well done. That is amazing. And if you want to find out more about what we're doing, that website to get to once again is coachparry.com/join. Until next week on the podcast, have yourself a good one. We'll catch up with you on the Comrades webinar on Monday night live. We're looking forward to it. Until then, from myself, Brad, and the rest of the team here at Coach Parry, it's cheers.